So I'm sure many of you are wondering where Mark is this morning. Unfortunately, Mark, yesterday afternoon, the pain became too unbearable for him. He has an abscess in his gum, and it's excruciatingly painful. His face is badly swollen. He went and saw a specialist, and we'll be having a procedure on Tuesday to remove the abscess and hopefully leave something of his teeth remaining. But he sends his love, and I got the privilege of being asked to preach in his place. So Mark being Mark, of course, had prepared a fantastic sermon. And what I discovered with Mark's preparations is that he's been preaching for so long, and he is gifted, as we all know, at sharing the Word of God. But his notes are slightly different to mine. So I'm still at the stage of writing every word that I'm going to say out. Mark's definitely at the stage where he tends to, you know, paraphrase what he means to say. So I've had some fun going through his notes and trying to make them a bit more like I would speak them. But if I seem a little glued to the lectern, my apologies. But I'm perhaps not quite as fluent in every word as I would ordinarily be. So, the other thing I wanted to say was that Michael and Janine and Jess and Jonathan are enjoying a well-deserved break down south in the sunshine at their residence in Florida. And they won't be back before Christmas, but we'll be back for New Year's. I did just want to take this opportunity to honor the Saligos. They do a huge amount in the life of this church. And I don't think you know, everybody perhaps is aware of that, but certainly those of us on the leadership team are very, very thankful for the amount of time and effort that they put in. And I'm very pleased that they're getting a couple of weeks of sunshine and rest at the end of what has been a busy year. So today, we are going to continue the series on the coming. So Mark introduced this series 2 weeks ago, and week one, thanks Robna, we had the discussion of the peril of perishing. So just to remind us, the key verse that Mark is preaching through is John 3:16. And in week one, we were told that without Christ and his salvation, we are all doomed to perish. But John 3:16 tells us that we shall not perish if we accept Jesus. We are all mankind, as we know, is in the peril of perishing, which isn't merely dying and ending our lives. We all have that. But it is actually the opposite of eternal life, the eternal life that we are promised and we have a hope for eternity with Jesus in his kingdom. But perishing is eternal perishing. It is eternal hell. And so that was a powerful message to start this series off. It reminds us what price Christ paid for us so that we avoid that eventuality, but also encourages us to share the good news of that word to those who don't know Jesus as Lord. In week two, thanks Swapna, last week we heard about the plan of God, the plan of love. And in again in the verse from John 3:16, we understood that God always had a plan of love to rescue us from the perils of perishing. The plan of love is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And it's God's love plan in giving his Son in incarnation, as we saw Jesus on this earth, as we see in his word, his very presence on this earth, by his death and his subsequent resurrection. And that is God's plan, that we be rescued from perishing. So we understand that That plan of love is what rescues us from what is quoted in John 3, verse 36, the wrath of God. So on to week three. And the title today of the third section of this four-part series is The Purpose, Our Purpose, which is to believe. So we focus today on the third P, and we have a four-part series here. So we've covered perishing, and we've covered plan. Today we look at purpose, and next week Mark will close this off with promise, and that is the promise of eternal life. So the purpose for us in God is to believe in his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish. Our acknowledgement or acceptance of something is simply an assent or agreement. It is an assent of agreement, or it is something that we recognize. But the truth and revelation of that something is called follow through. And the way that we follow through when we talk of believing, when we talk of faith, is that we follow through by following Christ. We do that because we have faith, or we believe that Christ came and that he is the only begotten Son of God. So how does this work? Well, we have six areas to go through today, and each of them will touch on what it is for us to believe and what our purpose is in believing. Thanks, Robert. So the first of these is connected, being connected to God because we believe. Now, believing in Jesus is the linchpin between us, our souls, and God's love, the plan of God's love that we heard about last week. It's nothing to do with how intelligent we are, our IQ. It's nothing to do with our education or our background, and it's nothing to do with when we got saved. It's nothing to do with how bad we were before we got saved, and it's nothing to do with how good we've been since we got saved. It is believing in Jesus. In Jesus, and that he was the Son that God sent. That is the connection that we have. Thanks, Swapna. John 3:36, as I referenced earlier, says, "Who believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." So believing is our link with God and his plan of love that we see in John 3:16. And Jesus says in the word, "Whoever believes in him should not perish." So what Jesus is really saying is that God's love, which is his rescue plan for us, is that he so loved us that we will not perish. A slightly different way to express this is that when we get saved, God's love is sufficient that we can be redeemed of our sins and be saved. But God's love is also efficient in that it allows us to continue believing. It allows us to continue our walk with Jesus every day. If we got stuck with the sufficient love of God, which allowed us to believe that one time, that first time, when we believed that Jesus is Lord, if we got stuck there, then we would never continue in our walk. We would never mature in our faith. We would stay with a heart and mind acceptance that Jesus is Lord, but we wouldn't move forward. And God's love, his plan of love for us, is also efficient in that every day we are surrounded by it, as we talked of earlier. We're surrounded by it, and each day we can rely on his plan of love. We can rely on the love of God so that we are able to walk each day believing that Jesus is the Son of God and he is our all-sufficient Savior. Knowing the full power of the love of God that fully or completely rescued us, and it does rescues us from hell, is to believe in God, the sending God, and in the Son who was sent. Thank you, Swami. Point two, believing with a continuing heart and mind. So to believe is to believe with a continuing heart and mind. Whoever believes on him. It's not a one-time act. As I was saying just now, it's not something that we do when we get saved and then forget about. It is an ongoing, continuing condition of our hearts and our mind. Salvation is when I give my life to Christ. But then I begin the journey with Christ. The metanoia, which means the starting of a new path and direction in my life. What I referred to earlier as the follow through. In the Greek, we understand that this word believing is in the present tense. And it's a continuous action, something that needs to be lived out every day of our lives. Thanks, Wadna. John 20, verse 30. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples who are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. John closes his book saying that the signs that he's written about, and there are seven that he mentions in his book, are a purpose to lead us so that we may believe or come to believe. They cover Jesus' identity as the Christ and the Son of God, his selected messianic signs, the importance of believing in Jesus, and the gift of eternal life. And he ends with, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. It is a present tense thing. It's ongoing. We are continually believing so that we may have eternal life. Unfortunately, it's a flaw that Christians have when we orient our Christian walk on the day that we were saved. We look back on that day and we give a testimony when we're asked to give a testimony of God's goodness to us. And we say, well, in my case, back in 1997, when I gave my life to God, this happened and that happened and I was saved from this. But we very seldom tell about what we have been taken into and what we are walking through at this time. We need to ask ourselves, how are we today? How am I this morning? Where are you on our journey? Where am I on my journey? And with Jesus right now, here today. It's very good for us to know, and it's healthy, of course, to know the day that we gave our life to Christ, our first love. But that was not the checkered flag. It was just the green light for us to start our journey. If you think about our walk with Jesus, the date we were saved, it's not actually particularly important in the scheme of things because we all receive the same salvation. That moment that we accept Jesus as Lord, we receive the same thing. So the day and the date, whether it was sun was shining or whether it was pouring with rain or it was pitch black or early morning brightness, it really is fairly insignificant. But we know that our inheritance is with him for eternity. But how is our walk right now? Because this believing daily is what dictates our journey to receiving that inheritance of eternity. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Do I believe in Jesus as the Son of God every single day? Is that at the forefront of my thoughts, my words, my actions? When we believe with a continuing mind and heart, we develop perseverance. And that perseverance is what carries us in the race marked out for us by Christ. Thanks, Swapna. So the third point in our believing is that Jesus is the object and focus of our belief. Jesus Christ, Son of God, the only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus has to be the object and focus of our believing. Thanks, Swapna. John 5, verse 24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." So we believe in the Father, a revelation of God the Father. We believe in that, loving and fully committed to his creation. And how do we believe in that? How do we believe that he was loving and fully committed to his creation? Well, in John 3:36, it tells us whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. So we need to believe in the Son, the Savior sent by the Father. And that is a demonstration of God's commitment to his creation. He loves us so much, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He loves us so much, he loves his creation so much, that he wanted to give us a rescue plan. He wanted to give us that opportunity to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior in our lives, so that we would receive eternal life by believing in him and not have the wrath of God remaining on us. And John 12:44 says, "And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me." So in his letters, in this gospel, John reveals so much about the relationship between Father and Son. And he tells us again and again that who has the Father has the Son, and who has the Son has the Father, because they are one. And we know that when the Son went to be back with his Father, he sent us Holy Spirit so that we might understand the triune God and have all three in one as part of our believing. The object of our love and our salvation is Jesus Christ. It is the Son of God. He is the Son of God, and he revealed the Father to us. Put another way, the Father, having intimately revealed himself through his Son, allowed us to believe, allows us to have faith that the Son is a revelation of the Father and that the Father sent his Son. So through Jesus, we have this opportunity to believe in the Father. And because of our belief in the Father, we accept Jesus as his Son, as his atoning sacrifice, the only acceptable sacrifice to the Father for us, for those of us who believe. Thanks, Will. So the fourth point, to believe is agreeing with the revelatory truth about Jesus. When we believe in something, it has to have a deeper foundation than simply accepting something on a subjective or an emotional level. Now, if I look back to the time when I accepted Jesus into my life, for a period of time, I definitely had more of a head knowledge of Jesus than a heart knowledge of Jesus. I was immediately put into a mindset where I thought, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord, life's good, I'm going to be busy in God. Which basically meant that I went around doing lots of what I considered to be good things. Helping people, getting involved in as much as I could. Going on ministry trips, doing all these things. And in themselves, there's nothing wrong with that. But the reason I was doing them was because I believed that's what was important. That was what I needed to do to have the acceptance of God. I felt like I needed to be busy doing things that others would perceive to be good, that others would be perceived to be Christian in the way that I live my life. Unfortunately for me, because I hadn't let Jesus impact my heart, I carried on doing all the other things in my life that were not healthy, that were not bringing me gain, and were certainly not part of my believing Jesus as the Son of God. And until about 3 years after that day that I accepted Jesus as Lord, until I had a revelation that I needed to change my heart in order to change my life, I wasn't able to fully embrace what it was to have Jesus as Lord. You see, we can go through life telling people that we're Christians. We can go through life telling people how good God is and what he means to us. But unless we have a deposit of that in our hearts, we won't see the fruit of that in our lives. And we will continue to do things and say things and get involved in things that are not truly of God. They are not his best plan for our lives. And this is a very important part about the revelatory truth of who Jesus is. Believing has a specific truth content, which says it's true whether we believe it or not. Society is particularly enthralled with relativism at the moment. And that directly opposes our belief, our faith in Jesus. What relativism says is that views are relative to differences in perception and consideration. There's no universal objective truth, according to relativism. Rather, each point of view has its own truth, depending on your perception and your position. It makes no difference when you say it might be true for you, but it's not true for me. Truth is truth. So in our context, we need to understand that the truth of Jesus being the Son of God is irrefutable. It is truth, whether we choose to believe it or not. C.S. Lewis said, "An insane man in a padded cell screaming that there is no sun has no effect whatsoever on whether the sun rises and sets on time." Thanks, Swapna. John 17, verse 8 says, "For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth." The NIV says, "Come to know in certainty that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." And he's talking of his disciples. Your unbelief or disagreement with this verse has no bearing on it remaining truth. It is true, and for us, we need a revelatory understanding of Jesus in order for that to become truth for us. When we hear the truth and when we believe the truth, we give assent to the truth. we are able to confess the truth, and we are able to live the truth every single day. And this is our saving faith. Thanks, Swapna. The fifth point. To believe is having satisfaction with all that God is for us in Christ. So we need to believe that Christ is who he says he is. We need to believe that God sent him to be our Lord, to be our Savior, and to save us from perishing, and to bring us the hope of eternity, of eternal life. We need to have a deep-seated satisfaction in our hearts that all of God is revealed in Christ for our benefit. In other words, if we only have a mental assent to the facts about Jesus, then our faith has no more power than the faith of demons. Thanks, Robert. In James 2:19 says, "You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." So mere mental assent to the Christian faith does not save anybody. The faith that saves, as both Paul and James affirm, embraces the truth of the gospel and acts accordingly. Lord, please open our eyes to the magnificence, the majesty, and the worth and value of Jesus. May the revelation of Jesus strike us this morning. May the truth hit us in a deeper and more expansive expression. Truth is so much more than Bible stories. It's so much more than fables. It needs to become a living reality for us. And when it does, the allure of the world loses its glitter and shine. In John 6, verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." When I first read that verse and sort of thought about it, I thought, that's really, it's quite difficult to get your head around that, because I enjoy my food. I know what it is to feel hungry. Not real hunger, like lots of people in the world have real hunger. But, you know, I wake up in the morning and think, I'd quite like some breakfast. I'm pretty hungry. And I know that when I've eaten a thing of popcorn, like I did last night when I was watching The Last Jedi, very good if you want to go and see it, highly recommend it. I finished that popcorn and I'm feeling pretty thirsty. So these are real things to us. They are things that we understand and we feel inside of us. We feel like we want to have a drink, we're thirsty, and we feel like we want to eat something if we're hungry. But what Jesus says is that I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now, these are not day to day, you don't have to eat and you don't have to drink anything ever again in your life. These are truth-based things. These are truth in our lives. This is truth in our lives. It means that we don't have to hunger after things. We don't have to thirst after things. Our deep satisfaction is that God has revealed himself in his entirety through Jesus Christ, our Son. It means that we don't have to strive after other things to make up gaps that we think might be missing. So believing and coming to Jesus in a way that abates completely the deep hunger of the soul and slakes the thirst of our soul and revitalizes the heart with a new affection for Jesus. That is understanding that God is revealed completely for us in Jesus. My soul then becomes completely satisfied in him. And there's nothing that the world can offer to replace that. John 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me." Believing in what God is for us in Jesus brings relief to our troubled souls. And believing is not merely an intellectual thing, solving philosophical problems. But believing is an emotional experience of being relieved of a troubled heart and a hungry soul. Believing is coming to Christ and finding him true, finding him satisfying to the deepest longings of our soul. Thanks, Swapna. So the final point, point six, if you're keeping notes. Belief is a work of God, and it's not just a human initiative. So belief in Jesus is a work of God, and it's not just a human initiative. Believing in Jesus is not simply a human act. It's a divine act. Our ability to believe in Jesus is not something that we wake up one day and go, seems like a good day to believe in Jesus. We are drawn to that place. It doesn't nullify what we've said already, that believing is a human act of the mind, agreeing with truth, and a human act of the heart in being satisfied with Christ. But the Bible does teach us that the human mind is blind to spiritual truth. So how can we be saved then? Well, John 6, verse 44 reminds us that no one can come to Jesus unless the Father who sent him draws us to him. And I will raise him up on the last day. A reiteration of the promise we have. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. And John 6, verse 37 says that all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. In other words, Jesus' answer to the spiritual blindness of the human mind and the spiritual hardness of the human heart is that the Father draws us. So when we are lost, when we don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior in our lives, we have a hardness of our heart and we have a spiritual blindness. The word tells us that these things seem nonsense to those who don't have Jesus. And what God is reminding us here is that he draws us. He draws us to him. And when he draws us to him, it allows our hardness of heart and it allows our blindness in our spiritual minds to be removed. So we can accept Jesus as Lord in our lives. He takes away the blindness and he replaces our heart of stone. He grants us the ability to see the truth of Christ's self-evidencing glory, and he gives us a taste for the all-satisfying beauty of Jesus Christ as Lord. And John 6, verse 65 says, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." If you are in conversation with people who don't know Jesus, encourage them. Encourage them. Know that God is drawing them. Know that it is not something that you faithful Christian, though I'm sure you are, it is not something that you can do on your own. It is not something that you have to do on your own. We are called to preach the word. We are called to spread the gospel. But we are not called to save people. Only God, through his Son Jesus Christ, can bring salvation. So, as a summary, I know I rather rattled through these, but when I read it preparing, I was thinking, wow, this is a lot of notes. It's going to take me a long time. I think I've been rattling through at a fair pace, but there's no harm in finishing a few minutes early, and it'll give us a chance perhaps to pray together. So, in conclusion, thanks, Robna. So believing is our link with God's rescuing love. There is no rescue without it. So believing in Jesus, Son of God, allows us to receive God's plan of love. And it removes us from that perishing that is spoken of in John 3:16. Secondly, believing is an ongoing condition of the heart and mind, and not merely a one-time act. Saying, I accept Jesus as Lord, is our green light. It is the place that we start. It is the it is what brings us to a place where we can start to change our lives, where we can start living for Jesus instead of just living for ourselves. But it is something that we have an ongoing daily responsibility to do and a requirement to do. An ongoing condition of our heart and mind is to continue believing each day that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the only begotten Son, and he is the only rescue plan, if you like, that plan of love that God has for us. Thirdly, believing is having Jesus as the sole object and the sole focus of our belief, and that he is given to us by the Father. It's important for us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. As I quoted that that verse from Hebrews 12, verse 1. Perseverance, run the race with perseverance. Fix our eyes on Jesus. He needs to be the sole purpose. He needs to be the sole focus of our belief. We mustn't allow ourselves to be drawn into other belief systems, other statements, other contradictions that are thrown out at us. And they are always thrown out by the enemy, as we know, whispering in our ear, is that really true? We need to just believe in Jesus, believe him as the Son of God, the all-sufficient Savior, and that there is no other than him that we need. Fourthly, believing includes agreements with the objective truths about Christ. We need to get to a place where we're happy with that. We need to get to a place where we're happy with the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. We need to be happy with the fact that Jesus is God's plan of love, fulfilled that plan of love. And we need to be happy with the truth that because of Jesus, because of his death on the cross, because of his resurrection and his ascension back to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, because of that truth, we have a promise of eternal life. And we shall not perish. Fifthly, believing includes heartfelt satisfaction with everything that God is for us in Jesus. That we understand and we believe that God is revealed in his entirety through Christ to us. And as I said earlier, when Jesus ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, which allows us to unpack the Word of God. It allows us to understand that triune relationship. And it allows us to understand and have a satisfaction that everything of God was revealed to us in Jesus and is brought to us daily by Holy Spirit. And finally, sixth point, we need to recognize that believing is a work of God and not a human initiative. It was a human initiative, it would be doomed to failure. But it's not doomed to failure. It is primed for success because it is a work of God. It is God's plan. It was his plan from the beginning, and it will be his plan until he returns, Jesus returns, and we spend eternity in his presence. So that concludes this third part. And as I said, next week, Mark, I'm sure, will be back on all cylinders by next Sunday. We'll conclude this four-part series on John 3:16, and he will talk of the promise that comes in that verse. I'm going to pray for us now as we close. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you that today we can wake up. We're able to wake up. We're able to come here. We're able to leave here and go about our days with one constant, our belief that you sent your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You sent him, your only begotten Son, so that we might believe, we might continue to believe every day, and that in that belief, in that daily belief, we would receive eternal life and not perish. Father, thank you that there is a truth that comes from believing and understanding that Jesus is the Son of God. Thank you for that truth. Thank you that it is irrefutable. Thank you that it remains as the truth today, as it did at the start of time when you created the world, as it was when Jesus walked on this earth, as it will be when he returns. That truth will remain the truth, that Jesus is Lord, that he was sent by you, the Father, incarnate, so that we might be able to see the Father. We might be able to understand the kingdom of heaven, and we might be able to receive all that you have for us. Thank you for that truth, Lord. Father, today I pray, if there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus, if there's anyone here who hasn't accepted Jesus as Lord, who is struggling with the truth of Jesus being the Son of God, I would encourage you, please come and see myself or Kevin after the service. Please come and talk to us. We'd love to tell you more about Jesus, the Son of God, our all-sufficient Savior, and the belief that we have in him. Father, bless us as we go. Protect us, keep us, make your face to shine on us. And Lord, let us speak of you with joy in our hearts at every opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.